The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Tuesday edition of A Numbers Game. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me here. This segment is proudly presented by 1-800-Flowers, DraftKings official flower for Valentine's. And don't know if you heard or not, Kelly Bidlin, there's a pretty big game happening down the road from us here in a few days. And not only the teams here, we have had the media day. We have had the crowd of people surrounding Travis Kelce because he is the most popular player in this game. And listen, I'm ready for it to be settled. I think there's angles on both sides here. I think that there are ways you could talk yourself into a maybe even a 49ers win by margin. I think that there are ways that you could say, hey, listen, this Chiefs team with their experience and their quarterback and their tight end and what they've done on the defensive side of the ball, this is an outright win for them. I don't know if there's a margin win for the Chiefs in this game, but I think that, you know, you can really talk yourself into that. I'm actually pretty fascinated that I think there are real angles on both sides of this game, and I'm glad to break it down with you guys today.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to have you in. Thanks for filling in. Like you said, Gil out sick. Hopefully we'll get him back here in the next day or two, but we're going to be doing a lockdown on Media Row end of the week as well. And this is, you're right. I think game-wise, I don't know about you, but my biggest bet so far is on a player prop. I think there are... I've got opinions on the game. We're going to get into them here. We've been talking about it the past couple weeks now, or past week and a half. To your point, though, I think that I'm not surprised if there's people heavy on the Chiefs or heavy on the Niners. I think you can make a solid case either way. I think the total you could make a solid case either way for as well.
And by the way, no one's wrong in this. Like, there's no wrong opinion. Everyone, like, if someone is dead set on the Chiefs in this game and it ends up being a 49er game, or someone's dead set on the 49ers and ends up being a Chiefs game, there's no victory laps to be had. This is a two-point spread. These are two teams coming in with the Chiefs playing their best that they played all season long. The 49ers obviously have just been kind of a truck all season long and then ended up figuring out ways to make it happen in those two playoff games. So let's not get on the whole victory lap thing with all of that. Our friend Drew Densick will join us for a couple of segments as well. We'll see what he has in his account, what he's leaning towards, if there's anything that he's definitely avoiding anywhere along the way. But as we sit this morning, it is 2 points in favor of the 49ers over at DraftKings. 47.5 is our total. This thing opened at 48, got down to 47.5, and basically has been stuck in the mud. There has been a tiny little tick here and there, but 47.5 is where we are at in this. And This is one of those situations where, Kelly, I look at this, and typically in years past, we've had one-way traffic towards an over. It is casual bettors get in. Casual bettors don't want to bet unders. They want to bet overs. That being said, we're legal in 30-plus states now, and I do wonder if we're going to see all of the things that we have seen traditionally in years past. I mean, been doing this, betting Super Bowls for 20-plus years now, and... Boy, that just dated me, didn't it? I just let people know how old I am.
You're old.
Yeah, let people know how old I am. Anyway, maybe 20 years, 20-ish years. How about that? I've been betting Super Bowls for 20-ish years and stuff. So there, we'll go with that. But, you know, it was one of those things you could sit back, tried and true, you knew. It was going to be overs coming in on the total side of things. There was going to be value in the favorite money line because everyone wants to bet the dog money line. The casual bettor wants to bet some money, and they want to get back more money than they bet. They do not want to hand the guy over the counter more money and get back less money should they win. And so you always were able to find value on the favorite money line as we got a little bit closer to the game as well. But now that there is widespread legalized sports betting, I do wonder if some of this stuff that we used to think that we just knew was going to happen every single Super Bowl, that we just knew in these massive island games where there was going to be so many new people coming into the market and betting, if that's actually going to play out. Now, would it surprise me if we got back to 48, like a half a point tick? Like, that wouldn't surprise me, but I don't think we're going to see this kind of point and a half to almost 2 points that we used to see every single year with these totals and certainly with some of these overs.
Yeah, I've kind of been laughing that we've seen, you know, for the week and a half so far, we've seen more movement with the side than the time of the totals. I mean, have you seen anything more or less than 48 or 47? Like, it has been stuck right there.
Pretty much 47.5 for the vast majority, at most spots.
For the most amount of time, it has been stuck right on 47.5. The one way I did play this, did a little, you know, same game teaser, not always recommended in the NFL, but did tease up the Chiefs side and that total up to go under. I don't know about you. That's the only thing I did with the total for this game. But I would be quicker to play an under in this one than an over. And I think that correlates a little bit with what side you're on. I like the Chiefs. I think if you like the Chiefs, you've seen the way they've been getting it done here throughout the playoffs. Defense really stepping up, leaning on the running game, not forcing it with Patrick Mahomes. I think that leans a little bit more towards an under. And there's definitely the chance that, like you brought up, that we see the 49ers that we saw during the regular season, where it's, hey, there's a lot of firepower on this offense. And if they win this game, it might be by margin. It might be a big, high scoring game on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting to see where all of these things end up, because, you know, listen, if we're talking about star power, it's just a fact, right? The star power is on the Chiefs side in this game. So does that mean the casual bets are all going to be favoring the Chiefs? Is it going to be one way where it's kind of a popular dog, where typically, again, the favorite tends to get a lot of the money when it comes to the Super Bowl? But Travis Kelce's the most popular guy in this game currently. Sorry, it's just the way that it is. He has brought in this is not one of those things where we're talking about a guy that is dating a celebrity. Sure, we have seen Giselle in the stands with Tom Brady. We have seen Jessica Simpson in the stands when she was dating Tony Romo, and all of these things. Is not even on the same, even close to the same level with Taylor. We're talking about the absolute most popular human being on planet Earth that is going on here. There are going to be not millions, eight figures more people watching this Super Bowl than there would have been, because there are people who are going to go in and they're going to say, Mom, Dad, put on the Super Bowl, or hey, Mom and Dad, I'm watching the Super Bowl with you guys because I'm going to see those five times that they cut to Taylor Swift over the course of the game. That is the fact of the matter is happening. And then Patrick Mahomes is definitely the second most popular guy in this game. This is not a knock on Christian McCaffrey. This is not a knock on George Kittle or anything like that, but we know where the star power lies. And I don't know if we're going to see that favorite love like we typically tend to see over and over and over again in not only just Super Bowls, but island games just in general. These island games, a lot of people come in, they play the favorites. And certainly with a short favorite like this, you would think that we would get some love there. But I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think that there's going to be, I think two might be where we end up going. I think we might go off at 1.5 when it's all said and done with this, because I think the Chiefs are going to get the vast majority of the love.
Yeah, I always remind you, if you want to check out betting splits info and see where ticket money movie, even state by state, head over to VEASAN.com. I think it's a really cool setup we got over there right now. But this is what I'm wondering about, Matt, with this game, is we've talked about this, you know, really for the past 5-6 years now of, we've wondered, as more and more states have been legalized, are we going to see kind of difference in prices in Nevada and maybe rest of country? And I'm wondering if this is the game where we maybe get that. And obviously we're not seeing that right now. I'm talking as we get closer to game time. But we know having lived out here and seen these big games get bet, we know there's a wave in that Northern Cali money that comes in into Nevada. And I'm with you where I think rest of country is going to be, it's going to be a lot of Chiefs bets rest of country. So I'm wondering if we do end up maybe seeing a little bit of divide there. But even at that, it's going to be a point, something like that, right? And we're still in between the pick'em and the three. I'd be shocked if we see it go, you know, to the full three or fully to a pick'em before game time.
Quick reminder to those of you that are coming to Las Vegas for the game: if you are loving a bet that you see on the DraftKings Sportsbook, make it before you come. We do not, unfortunately, have DraftKings Sportsbook here in Nevada quite yet. Supposedly will be coming at some point, but don't have it yet. So if there's a bet in that menu that you love, you're going to need to make that before you get on that plane and head over here to Nevada. One of the things I want to talk about before we, you know, get into the stuff that happened last night, Kelly, a little bit, is just the fact that, let's remember, guys, this is the most casual betting game, the most casual betting event there is on the sports calendar each and every year. Let's be cool about it. Let's not complain about how many times they show Taylor Swift. Let's not complain about the guy that posts his 11-leg same-game parlay. Let's not complain about the guy that bet the coin flip or all the things that you might consider to be minus EV. This is going to be 98%. 99.5% of bettors that bet this game are going to be bettors that maybe bet a handful of times a year. This is not the guys that are betting multiple times a day. These aren't even the people that are betting multiple times a week. Maybe someone that's betting multiple times a month, and usually they're probably the bettors that are just betting the big tent pole events. They're coming in, they're swooping in on the Super Bowl, they're swooping in on March Madness, they're swooping in for the Kentucky Derby, maybe the Masters or something. But that's about it. They just want some juice in the biggest of the big. And so let's be cool with these people, man. Let's open our arms. Let's say, hey, you want to bet the Taylor Swift bets that are listed on Drac? Fine, cool. Don't go to the Twitter and get all angry at the fact that they showed Taylor Swift because Travis Kelce scored a touchdown. Yeah, they're going to do that. That's going to happen. Like, it's just one of those things. Like, let's just embrace how cool this is, this whole process. It's the first one in Nevada, first one in Las Vegas. Let's just have some fun with this and not already. I mean, everyone's already complaining, Kelly. We got multiple day. Everyone's complaining already. Let's just embrace the game. Let's have fun.
I don't get it. I haven't gotten it all year. I mean, I'm not even really like a Taylor Swift fan, but I don't know her music really at all. But like, I just don't get it. Like, you turn on a Knicks game. I watch plenty of Knicks game where a lot of celebrities get shown every single night. I don't really get it. What was the, I know Colin Coward went on a great rant last week, but it was like, 25 seconds of the broadcast is the most that she's ever appeared on. Will it be more this time around? Yes, it probably will, Matt. But like you're talking about a lot of people watching this game. A lot of people tune in for the commercials. They'll tell you that. They don't even care about the football. They want to watch the commercials.
It's the most popular human being on the planet. You watch a UFC fight and they cut to the second row and it's Larry the Cable Guy or whatever, like in the audience. Like, okay, cool. I'm glad he's there. We're not outraged that they show Larry the Cable Guy with all of that. Guys, we are going to talk a lot of NFL. Drew Densick coming up here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is A Numbers Game. This segment is proudly presented by DiGiorno. It's not delivery. It is DiGiorno. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin coming to you from the D here downtown. Going to be down on Media Row Thursday and Friday, you guys. I might join you on Friday. Might come over there and see what's going on.
I think you might. I think Drew Densick tried to today, and I faked him out.
You little pump fake?
A little pump fake, yeah.
Well, you know. Drew, we got you anyway, buddy. Appreciate you being here on a Tuesday, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's actually crazy convenient. Staying at the Mandalay Bay, they have the media set up down in the convention center here. So everything's pretty centrally located. You can get to all the events and do all the activities and everything without having to go out and brave the elements. I don't know who called in this weather for Super Bowl week, but they can. They should have a serious soul searching of why we decided 50 degrees and rain was appropriate for a desert getaway weekend. But that's fine. Hopefully you guys are handling the influx of NFL fans well and excited for the Super Bowl.
Well, Drew, I look and you are a man of hair as well as like me. And so the only problem with this weather comes with the hair doesn't react the same. Mine's gotten used to the dry and it's gotten used to where I've gotten the product that works in the dry. And you add the wet and the humidity and all this and then the days of the rain and stuff. And you feel me, right? I mean, you know what's going on.
Without a question. Yeah. You want some extremely niche belly aching. The water here is a little hard. I usually have the nice waves going and it's just absolute chaos.
Yeah, it's just you can't get it going. Kelly's giggling because you feel the pain. Come on. You know how it goes.
Tough it up, boys. Come on. You gotta fight through the adversity. It's Super Bowl week. Come on.
Listen, I haven't found a backup product yet because I don't need it. It only rains here like 12 times a year, so I don't have a backup product. I've only got to go with the one that I've got. So, all right, Drew, you're here because there's a thing that's happening here on Sunday. So let's kind of go ahead and get into that. Kelly and I were talking about, and I definitely want to get your thoughts on the side, but the interesting thing to me is we've, you know, saw this thing open at 48, gets down to 47 and a half, basically stuck in the mud for a week, you know, over a week now at the 47 and a half. Do you expect there to be a lot of late action here on this total? You know, years past, we just knew that there was going to be an influx of over money. And if you wanted to bet the under, you waited and you waited and you waited because there was always going to be that. But I don't know. I mean, here we are in absolutely no movement for over a week. What do you think about the total just in general?
Yeah, no, I think the total's fair at 47 and a half. But I did see some places like Circa popping at 48 yesterday. And, you know, usually they're leading the market. It's, you know, it's getting juicy to play 47 and a half at certain spots. And so I think ultimately expecting this to tick up to 48 is reasonable, which means if you want the under, I do think you wait until close. I lean under in this game, but it's not a strong lean. There's definitely plenty of scope for these two offenses to be, you know, in pretty outstanding form, considering it's a, you know, a enclosed environment and a fast field, and they both have familiarity playing here, and they're both pretty much at full strength on offense in terms of skill position players. So this could be more of a shootout type of game like we saw last year, but you know, as we stand right now, I have a little, you know, a lot more confidence in the Niners making their number than I do the Chiefs, just because there's been some extended, you know, periods of time during this season, extended periods of time during this playoff run, like the entire second half of the AFC Championship game, where the Chiefs offense has kind of told you, hey, you know, we're not right. We're not the same old unit that you remember from years past. We're getting it done a different way, like leaning into our defense here. So, you know, there are outcomes here where the Niners, you know, are suffering from a little bit of inexperience. Brock Purdy, of course, has never played in a game of this magnitude. So his, you know, kind of coolness will be under scrutiny. Obviously, he's going up against a very decent past coverage unit for the Chiefs. And so if there's all of a sudden, surprisingly, you know, it's difficult for them to find success through the air and they're entirely leaning on the ground game, well, that should succeed, but that's going to wipe out clock. So I think that, you know, when it's all said and done, if this is 48 into close, I'm probably going to have a small play on the under. But as we stand here right now, I think it's pretty well, it's a pretty good number.
It's kind of hard to not take notice of this whole second half under Chiefs stuff that's been going on all season long. At this point, whether you were trying to say, ah, it's just noise, it's just noise, it's just noise. I mean, we've gotten 20 games in. What is it, 18-2 or something, whatever, 17-3, depending on what the number was when it closed. I mean, we kind of have to believe it at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a specific game state where I think it's very, very true. And it's Chiefs with the lead at half. Andy Reid tacks into very conservative game script. And, you know, the Chiefs have kind of, you know, I guess this is my general read on the entirety of what's going on here. The Chiefs were one of the most explosive, if not the most explosive, passing offense in Mahomes' early years in the league. And the defenses across the NFL had to adjust to be able to adapt to that style of attack and stop giving up the home run play to Mahomes. That has kind of propagated the two high safeties, shell coverages that you see everybody adopting nowadays, and you see the Chiefs face more than any other team. That has forced the Chiefs to be able to matriculate the ball without making mistakes, taking small chunks instead of big chunks. And with that comes, you know, three downs to get a first down. It comes with five first downs to get points. And so these second half drives that the Chiefs have gone on will just wipe out 8 minutes of clock, and they may not even get points out of it. And so it's turned into, you know, with the Chiefs not having to force their hand and go into their bag for sort of the surprise, explosive, innovative stuff, they just lean into the vanilla and play game management in the second half of these games where they're leading, and shorten the game. And, you know, these totals are coming in way under. The fact that it is, you know, these second half totals are kind of influenced by people kind of taking the Chiefs at face value with Mahomes as their quarterback, and a dynamic offensive potential is, and having higher totals in general for these second halves is a factor as well, obviously. But I think ultimately, you know, the Chiefs with the lead play a certain style of football that shortens the game. And honestly, the way that the Niners are rostered and the way that the weaknesses of the Chiefs defense manifest with largely their run rush defense, that the Niners might play this way, you know, play that way as well. So I can see either of these teams having a meaningful lead at halftime. time, I lean the Niners, you know, being the more successful team in the first half. And if we get to that point, could you see a very, very short second half and a very low total? I would 0% shocked by that. So, you know, if you made me say, hey, blind bet the second half, you know, regardless of game state, I'm taking the under.
Talking to Drew Densick, you can find him over at NBC Sports Bet. You can get that podcast, The Deep Dive, if you have not already, which certainly if you listen to this program, you're already subscribing to that podcast. But if you haven't already, Deep Dive Podcast, you can find him on the Twitter machine at @whale_capper as well, Drew. So I think you kind of tipped your hand right there. You said you're leaning towards the Niners. Is this a bet that's already in your account? Do you like the number where it's at right now? Do you think it might get under two because of the popularity of Kelce and Mahomes and all the stuff that's going on there?
Yeah, I've been kind of curious by that, but you know, the change in direction that we saw early in the week last week, I think, was sort of the sign that this is now probably going to be where we force this number into the close. I could see a little bit of action on the Chiefs money line as people are kind of enticed into just taking the plus money there instead of getting involved with the 2 points. And so you could get a little bit of an interesting kind of diverging from what the math would tell you on the spread between the money line and -2, which will be fascinating to see if that gets corrected. But ultimately, I'm leaning Niners win. I bet the Niners to win. I bet Purdy MVP. And I think, as we get closer, I'm going to be strongly considering some Niners alt spreads here, just because there's definitely, in my opinion, a game state where the Niners defense, you know, shows you a much better effort than what you saw against the Lions or the Packers. And realistically, that Niners pass rush, if they're effective in this game, if they can generate quick pressures with four, rushing Mahomes, then I think you can absolutely keep this Chiefs offense in a box. And at that point, you can run it down their throats, convert, your explosive plays from, second and short, third and short, have a pretty successful day overall offensively if you're the Niners offense in this one. So, I think outside of the Mahomes being the better quarterback and, Kelce being, an all-time, a future Hall of Famer, there are no real head-to-heads where you look at talent versus talent on any of the kind of matchups across the field and say there's an advantage for the Chiefs. The Chiefs' strongest part of their entire team is their pass defense and coverage in general, but they're going up against Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel, who are kind of the most dynamic 1-2 wide receiver going right now. So it's, to me at least, I think there's if you want to kind of lean into talent, if you want to try to understand why the Niners are favorites, they're just more talented at so many levels of the field. And, the questions of the test are pretty easy for them in terms of run the ball successfully. Let Purdy kind of, do his thing in the red zone. And then at that point, let your front four dictate the game when you're playing defense. And I think that could be enough.
From the Mandalay Bay, he is joining us, Drew Densick. He's going to stick around for another segment. We'll get into kind of the nuts and the bolts and maybe some prop bets that you're looking at, maybe any of those that maybe you have in your account as well. On the 49ers, leaning towards an under, maybe some other prop bets as well. Drew Densick, when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN and DraftKings Network. This segment brought to you by Bayer Aspirin, official sponsor of Fans Hearts. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, and kind enough to stick around for another segment down at Mandalay Bay, going and taking in all the sights, all of the stuff on Media Row. Drew Densick, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you just hanging out for another segment with us.
Absolutely, guys. There's no place I'd rather be than talking Super Bowl with you guys on the week of the big game.
So let's go ahead and head over to the prop market. We know thousands of these things. It takes you an hour to scroll through all of them whenever you're going through the sports book. But when you were kind of starting to put together stuff you liked, we always talk about you need to tell a story through your prop bets. You don't want to be thinking a game's going to go one way, and the next thing you know, you look at your prop portfolio and it's heading in a different direction. So how did you kind of start formulating your props? What jumped out to you, and what do you have in your account?
Yeah, so the trick for me is usually trying to find what I think are game state resilient props, because you nailed it. Like, There's been plenty of years in the past where I've talked myself into something. And you know, at that point, like you might as well be just taking a side or a total if that's the way you feel. And there's more liquidity in those markets. So you really, you know, like why you really needed to add the, you know, $250 prop here or there where you could get, you know, an infinity bet on side or total. So, you know, it, for me, at least I try to just single stuff that I think is pretty, resilient to game state. It's tough, but that, but you said it right. Like there are so many props, it's and the menu is so broad that there have to be probably at least 20% of those prices that are just flat out wrong. Like there's no way you could get all this correctly priced. And you know, some of the stuff that people always talk about, which I think is valuable to just sort of restate for the record, is if you're looking at specifically player props, it's important to look at long-term tendencies and trends with respect to median, not average. If you're just pulling averages, particularly for players who are low volume, they can be hugely influenced by you know, just a non-normal distribution, right? Average is a useful number when you have a normal distribution. If it is, you know, a different shape, then, you know, median can be way more instructive as far as like what to expect in a typical game. And a good example of that is, then this is again, a bizarre one that you can only get, you know, small bets on, but Isaiah Pacheco's over under for his first reception is 5.5, right? And it's like, okay, well, that's a big number for a running back. Like there's you don't even need to look at the numbers. Like how many running back passes are just like dead on arrival? Like there's plenty of them. And then there are some screens that he busts for, you know, 10, 15 yards, right? And you look at his average this year. Oh, what do you know? 5.5, bang, right on the number. That's like, I guess that one's fair. Well, you know, you look at the distribution and he's like, oh, you know, in a typical game, like the game at the AFC Championship game, he has 4 catches for like each one, 1 yard, and then 1 for 14 yards. Right. So it's, you know, I would say something more like an 80% chance that his first reception is under 5.5 yards. And, you know, the fact, you know, the idea that he catches one ball and happens to take it, you know, longer than his longest reception. Sure. But it being the first one, now you're kind of into a different question. And so I like his first reception under 5.5 yards a lot, just on the basis of it's priced based on average, not median. There's plenty of stuff like that. As you dig around, I would say the kind of one other funny wrinkle about Pacheco and his usage in this game, I would expect him to be almost exclusively used on the ground. Jerick McKinnon designated to return from IR. He is much more likely the guy that is called upon if this is a negative game state for the Chiefs and they're in comeback mode because of his ability to, be a little bit more effective out of the backfield as a receiver. So ultimately, he may only get one target in this one. And if it's a you know, dead on arrival screen pass early in the game, then you can, you know, put one winner in the book pretty early there. So that was a fun prop that just happened to see as you scroll through the infinite lists that are available. The prop that I'm like really scratching my head on the most, and you guys can chime in here and tell me if I'm missing something. Brock Purdy's pass attempts is lined at 31.5 and it's even, right? And this one seems broken to me because it doesn't really matter what you pick in terms of looking at his, you know, his game logs from his career. He's like a 27 pass attempt guy, whether it's average or median. And in fact, has only ever gone over 31.5 3 times in all the games he's ever played. And oh, by the way, 2 of those games, they were at like a wildly negative game state. So for 31.5 to be a fair number, that kind of implies that the Niners are going to be losing for most of this game. And honestly, like with all of the scrutiny that, you know, the Ravens and Todd Monken got for not, you know, kind of testing out the Chiefs run defense. And, you know, just in general, what you've seen with Kyle Shanahan in playoff settings where he's a little bit hesitant to let his quarterback sort of flex and be, you know, be sort of the, you know, the field general, he's much more inclined to do a run first, run heavy approach with, you know, his offensive script, especially. But then if that works, and it should against this Chiefs defense, because you have the best zone running offense against one of the worst zone running defenses in the NFL this season. And actually, if you go back multiple years, this is like extreme. So that should be wildly effective for the Niners to move the ball on the ground. And it's very tough for me to see in what game state, in what universe Kyle Shanahan decides, you know what we need today? 32 passes from Brock Purdy. So it's to me, at least, that this one's somewhat resilient to game state. And honestly, like, if it's not working for the Niners, if they're losing, if it's, you know, if it's not happening, the idea that Purdy's going to be able to rack up attempts by, you know, because he's a guy that, you know, he's getting 8, 9, 10 yards per drop back here. So it's not like he has these long matriculating drives where he gets a lot of short yardage attempts. And so you add to this the fact that Brock Purdy is now kind of discovering scrambling as a you know, broader part of his game, and that there were clear and obvious passes available to him in the NFC Championship game, and he elected to scramble instead. And basically, it's just pointing down arrow for attempts for Mr. Purdy in basically every respect. So if my fair on that one is 27, I don't know how you can come up with 31.5 in any kind of, you know, conception, unless this game goes to overtime. So congratulations to an overtime. Anyone who bet overtime, yes, I guess that's the way this gets to 32.
Yeah, I mean, you look no further right than the game against Detroit, in which they really were trailing the entire game and had to come back. And he still only threw 31 times in that game, right? Yeah. So he still only threw 31 times against Detroit whenever that was that game stayed. And so
they kept feeding McCaffrey on the ground. Behind, and they kept feeding McCaffrey.
Yeah, they do. They will not get away from what it is until it's like absolutely necessary. And again, we don't think that that's going to be the case here in this one. I'm glad you did bring up the mean median thing. It's the thing that I kind of like beat the drum for all the time. I'm like, guys, you got to make sure mean median, mean adding up all the data points and then sum together and then dividing by the number there. So for NFL average, it'd be total yards divided by total games or whatever it might be. But the median, the middle value, the midpoint in a set of data ranges is where we really start to figure out, you know, if there's any edge on all the stuff. So just be sure that you're doing that. It does take a little bit extra time, but, you know, look no further than Patrick Mahomes, for example, and you talk about these outlier performances. Well, Patrick Mahomes had a 424-yard passing game, right, over the course of the year. So his average passing yards comes in at 258, whereas his median is down at 245. He had this huge outlier game where he went for 424, where his median is literally down 13 yards from what his average is. And you can kind of find that along the way. So just it takes a little bit longer. You got to go in and you got to do some digging, but it's worth it in the long run, you know?
Oh, couldn't agree with you more. And especially in games like this where, because I can picture, if I could put my bookmaker hat on, right? Yeah. You want me to hang 1,000 props?
Yeah.
I'm just going to spam you with averages. I don't have time for this. But, you know, if you're on the other side of the counter and you're just looking for one or two where there's huge standouts, like that's a valuable exercise. The Mahomes passing yards is, that one's going to get bet down, I'm guessing, into close pretty aggressively. I've heard a lot of people that have numbers, like you were saying, coming in closer to 240 there. So I don't think that's going to survive at 260 into close.
Man, that was a great time. And when books just throw out averages for a long time and you could just go in and the median was just like free money. But yes, so long, long gone are those days. Those days are long gone. All right, Drew. So you're on the 49ers side of things. We got about 45 seconds here. How do you lose this bet? What goes wrong for you to lose this bet?
I think realistically, the Niners defense that we saw in the first half against the Chiefs shows up. That's probably the one weakness here that I'm kind of in the back of my head concerned about, because Steve Wilks obviously doesn't have the answers the way that DeMeco Ryans did with this unit. And for whatever reason, Chase Young's not performing anywhere close to his pedigree. Nick Bosa has an ability to generate phenomenal pressure, but cannot really seem to get the huge negative sacks. And Mahomes is incredible at sack avoidance here. So it's kind of if there's no quick pressure, or if the pressure is just not effective at stopping the Chiefs offense, then this could turn into a shootout. I'm not going to speak it into existence, but, Brock Purdy having a kind of a Black Christmas type of experience would also be a very disappointing as a Niners backer.
Find him over at NBC Sportsbet on the Twitter machine, Whale_Capper. And we'll see you Thursday. Going to have some dinner here Thursday night in Las Vegas with Drew Densick. Thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hey, best luck, you guys.
Kelly, when we come on back, let's talk some props of our own.
Let's do it.
Our favorites, things that are in our account, things that we're looking at as well here on a Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tuesday edition of A Numbers Game. Matt Brown in for Gil. This segment proudly brought to you by 1-800-FLOWER, DraftKings official flower for Valentine's. Thanks to Drew Densick, spinning two segments early morning here with us from down at Mandalay Bay. Kelly sent him on a wild goose chase trying to find us, and instead we end up on Skype with him. He's walking around just aimlessly
He will be joining us on set on Thursday. Uh-huh. I didn't think he was in town yet.
Yeah. So instead, Drew gets us on Skype. Appreciate the two segments with him. Got a tweet here from Jesse Welch, obviously a good listener here of the show, and says, like, you know, I said Media Row, and he said it sounded weird because it's always been referred to as Radio Row in the past. But
oh, Jesse, I'm feeling the same way.
But it's full on Media Row now for the last couple of years, and you go down there, and the entire perimeter is all just TV sets. Yeah. It's and the radio shows, they've actually kind of like pushed to the center, and it's kind of a
They get teeny little tiny tables in the middle.
So they're all in the center, and then like on the perimeter is where you have all the big kind of TV sets
NBC,
that are going
CBS,
on.
Yes,
and
ESPN.
Then the radio shows that are big time radio shows. They've decided they just go do them elsewhere now, you know, because they don't want to be in the middle. And so it's like Dan Patrick's over at Fountain Blue.
That's a good call. And you have that luxury in this city.
Yes. Like Lebtard's over at Circa. Mm-hmm. Like all this. So like the big time radio shows, Rome is over at Bellagio. So they're like, no, we're not going to be in the middle there with everyone else, and we'll just go do them. We'll go do them somewhere else. And so they go and do them somewhere else.
Where is Jim Rome doing it at the Bellagio?
Somewhere inside the Bellagio.
Okay. So I was like, I guess that's one spot I don't know that has a setup.
But our very own Mike Pritchard was down there yesterday.
Oh, Pritch.
With Jim Rome. And so, yeah, it's full on media row now, as opposed to just the traditional radio row of years past.
Yeah, that wording still throws me off, though. I'm with you, Jesse. Still throws me off.
Listen, we're evolving, Kelly. There's a lot of streamers down there. You know, there's live streaming going on and all of those things.
Good point. We should have transitioned to Media Row about 15 years ago, probably. And it should probably have a whole nother, like, media influencer row now down there.
All right, so let's look at some of these props and walk through any of these. And maybe some of these are in our accounts, maybe some of these are not in our accounts. But we can start out with the passing props. Of course, we're just looking at Purdy and Mahomes in this game, and you can take a look. And if you look, we talked about the mean median thing, and so I think it's important to note with these guys that it's not as big of a difference between Purdy as it is with Mahomes. So the average pass yards on the season for Brock Purdy comes in at 266.6. His median pass yards comes in at 261. So basically the same number for him that you're getting. Low on the year of 125 pass yards. Now that was that weird loss to the Browns in which he also lost McCaffrey and Debo in that game. Only threw for 125 yards. Has a high of 368 yards on the season. That was a win at home over Seattle. And he got that done. 368 yards, Kelly. And this is why whenever we look at and Drew was talking about how just the attempts in general, 368 yards, 19 completions.
Yeah.
19 completions, and he got 368 yards. He had completions of 54, 45, 44, 2 of 30, a 27, and 2 of 25 in that game. That's how you get to 368 with only 19 completions.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Well, you know, really quick, going back to what Drew said about the attempts, any thought there? Because I did. Somebody else brought that up to me a couple days ago about Purdy and the attempts number. And personally, I'm staying away from it because I am on the Chiefs side. Yeah. So I do think there is a possibility that they are playing from behind. But I brought this up on Live Bet Sunday, and Ben Wilson, rightfully so, called me out on you know, what they had done with Detroit, and it was still hand the ball off. So I think it's a good point by Drew. And I think if you are on the Niners side, it is a bet I would be making. But absolutely good point of bringing up the attempts and how little he's had this year.
Yeah, I mean, we can look, and again, even in that losing stretch, right, when they were losing, when they went on that three-game losing streak, 27 attempts, 30 attempts, and 31 attempts, still didn't get over the 31.5. Mm. I'm going to hang out and see if it gets any higher. I'm with you. I am on the Chiefs, and so it doesn't really add up. But at the same time, I don't expect I don't expect a blowout for the Chiefs.
No, me either. I mean, that's the... We both like the Chiefs. Do I think the Chiefs are going to be up by 17 points, 14 points even in the fourth quarter? No, I'm not sure. Yeah. You know, I don't think so. Like, I think this game's going to be rather tight. So, you know, even we talked about it with the Lions. I don't even think that you're going to feel like you're getting forced to pass the ball, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to see if this thing ticks up, maybe an attempt. You know, I mean, if we got 32.5, and then at that point, you're really, really, really looking at a guy that just does not put it up more than 32 times in a game.
You know this stuff better than me. How correlated would be, because obviously people are going to come, we talk about this all the time, people coming in betting overs on a bunch of stuff, but you might not see, I'm going to guess attempts gets bet less just on an average yes. Sunday than yardage and yes. then completions.
Yes.
So how correlated are the attempts? Do they get dragged along when the yardage and completions get bet up?
Sometimes. The deal with this game, again, I don't know. Listen, we're in a different betting landscape right now, right? And that's like that's why I'm paying attention to all this stuff so much.
Right.
And I'm actually taking notes on the line move. Like, what were the first props to move? So these are the ones that everyone is kind of gravitating towards. What's moving late? What doesn't move at all? Because I want to know so I have a strategy heading into next year. Because this is like, okay, this is what everyone gravitates to first. This is what they kind of hit a little bit later once they've had a chance to do some research. These are the ones they don't care about at all. Like, these just don't move. These are stuck no matter what. And so that's kind of been an exercise for me so far, as trying to figure out where we're going to go with all this stuff. Because, I mean, listen, there are more sophisticated bettors out there. There are going to be people who are looking to bet some of these other markets. I'm just wondering if there will be enough same game parlays put into play that it could help drag some of the stuff up. Because if you're telling the story of a successful Purdy day, then you're probably going to be, you know, it's less McCaffrey, it's more Purdy. And if you're doing that, then you need to be looking at attempts and completions and yardage and touchdowns and things like that.
Right. Yeah. This is, before we move on to the others, have you bet anything with either quarterback passing yet? I haven't personally. The one I'm looking at, and it might have been on your Lean's list too, Mahomes maybe under that half interception.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking that way. I don't think it's going to end up in my account though.
Yeah, it isn't there yet. I think it's probably will, or maybe it'll be a part of some sort of like same game parlay thing that I do that tells a story of a successful Chiefs day. But I'm heavy on Pacheco. You are as well. I think that there's going to be a decent amount of Pacheco in this game. So that just reduces the Mahomes attempts as it is anyway. And further, the personnel that Mahomes has doesn't allow for him to put it into danger as much as it does on the Purdy side of things. Like, you've got Ayuk and Debo and even Kittle, by the way. Like, if you kind of dig into Kittle stuff, and we'll go over, you know, props that are in my account, but like, if you dig into Kittle stuff, these guys run routes down the field, like further down the field.
Right.
Outside of MVS, there just isn't anyone that does that on the Chiefs side of things. So you have Mahomes, who just by the personnel around him doesn't put the ball into situations to get picked off as much as Purdy does. And if you even go into some of the Mahomes interceptions this year, we know famously like four of them were tip balls, five of them were like tip balls right off the receiver's hands and things, stuff like that. And so I expect everything to be fairly intact here. Sure, there will be the two or three shots to MVS down the field. If those don't get picked off, then I think we're looking pretty good outside of just a freak, you know, tip off a guy's hands, which there's nothing we can do about that, right? I mean, it just is what it is.
That happens for sure. That's definitely the way I would be leaning as well on that. I don't know if it's going to end up as a bet, but yeah, otherwise passing, the passing props are interesting to me. I think they're for the most part going to be mainly a stay away, just because I do think this game's going to be decided a little bit more on the ground. I really do. I think with the running backs, you talked about it, Pacheco, that's the biggest bet I have so far. Even besides the game best, the biggest bet I have is just over on his rushing yards at 66.5. And shop around. I didn't look yesterday at all, but I was surprised a little bit, Matt, just over the weekend of the wide ranging numbers you could find on stuff like that. You know, I feel like this week, as you get later into this week, is when stuff kind of tightens up and you know, they've all risen a bit. It's usually where there's some value on the unders. But there was, you know, a solid 4 or 5 yard difference when you would shop book to book.
And listen, we've actually seen some fluctuation in these pass numbers. Mahomes hit 261.5, back down to 260.5. Purdy hit 248.5, back down to 246.5. So there are people paying attention to the pass yardage for sure when it comes to all that. I mean, we mentioned Mahomes. Mahomes played in 19 games this year. His average was 257.9, but his median pass yards was down at 245. So a big 13-yard difference in the average and the median. He had a low of 177 yards and a high of 424. Which really raised that average for him over the course of the season. But he really lived in that 240-ish range, 226, 235, 240, 241, 245 games all the way across the board. So something that we'll pay attention to. We'll continue talking some NFL props here in hour number two. It is a numbers game here on a Tuesday.